Near FM.
Now, I am joined on the line by Head of Communications with the Automobile Association, Paddy Common. Paddy, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Paddy, we are seeing the growth in fuel prices beyond anything we would have imagined possible. We were warned that there was increases coming due to a temporary reduction in production, if you'll pardon the rhyming, due to COVID. But what we are seeing now is tantamount to a disaster, I would put it in, and I couldn't put it stronger than that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we've seen prices grow exponentially over the last few weeks in particular. Now, there's a couple of factors in that. Now, obviously, the disruption in Ukraine and Russia, and Russia was quite a big supplier of diesel for us in particular, has seen the price of a barrel of oil become rise. Now, obviously, in Ireland as well, we have quite a lot of taxes. You know, if you think when we got to the point of it being €2 per litre, more than €1 of that, in some cases, was going to the government. So we are seeing a big increase. There has been a little bit of a price settling over the last couple of days because oil prices have dropped, and the government obviously introduced a measure to bring down the duty on the fuels. So we have seen there's slightly more positive news. I know you said it's all going to be bad, but there is slight positive news to where we were maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago. The prices are settling a little bit, but no, look, the I suppose for your listeners, the prices are going to be very volatile for a while, mostly because of what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. So no great news in the short term, but things are settling a little.
And the thing about it, you see, Paddy, is, you know, there may be people listening this morning, because we are obviously based here in the north of Dublin City.
Yeah.
Who will say, ah, it doesn't affect me, I don't have a car, I can jump on the bus. How do the people think that the products arrive on their shop shelves? What do you think powers the bus they're travelling in? You know, whether you drive or not, okay, if you drive, it's going to obviously affect you exponentially worse, because you're paying directly at the point of purchase at the pump. But everybody, every truck driver, every trucking company, every delivery driver has to put fuel in their tanks as well. And they cannot afford to absorb price increases like we're seeing.
No, they can't. And you know, but even down to a more granular level, we're seeing that there's people who are just contacting us on low incomes. You know, we know the average age of a car in Ireland is 10 years of age. So it's quite old, and people are having no alternatives, especially in outside of the capital and rural areas. They just have to use their car. And as you said, you know, what gets us our milk and our bread and everything else, it's the deliveries, and those deliveries require fuel. So look, there's wider reaching consequences of these fuel prices increase. So look, we you know, for an AA, we're saying to the government, look, thank you for the reduction in duties, but it's really just a drop in the ocean, and I think that more can be done. And it's not for, you know, it's not forever. This is a short term measure, but we think that more can be done in the short term to relieve the pressure. And it's pressure on motors to try and get around. Simple as that.
Paddy, will you clarify something for me?
Yeah.
If you can, please. We have heard a succession of government representatives, starting with the Taoiseach, quickly followed by the Minister for Finance, saying, oh, we can't touch VAT on fuel, that's an EU directive. Now, by pure coincidence, Paddy, I happen to be doing a little bit of research at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I do a bit of homework from time to time. Spain have reduced VAT. The Netherlands have reduced VAT. Italy has reduced VAT on fuel to bring prices down. So, what's so different about us?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think you've probably hit the nail on the head there. I think there's probably more scope, and I think there's probably more room. You know, what the devil is in the detail. I think they, within the limits and within the constraints of what they can do, I don't think the government have given us the full arsenal of what they can do. You know, there are limitations, but it might be that other countries have used the width and the breadth of the limitations greater than we have. I think that would probably account for that, and that, you know, they can go a little bit further, and some other countries have gone a little bit further. Look, we're not the dearest in Europe. You know, if you're in Germany at the moment, people are paying €2.25, €2.30. So you know, it depends on where we are. But really, the difference for us here is that, say, for the average motorist, if you have a very average car currently, you're paying about €2,500 per year for you. And that's €1,000 more than you were paying 2 years ago, to put it into those sorts of figures. And another figure is that for every 10 cent increase in fuel, that adds up to about €120 per year in increased fuel charges. So if you know, if you put it the other way, between now and 2 years ago, it's like the equivalent of paying about 4 extra TV licenses per year in cost.
Yeah.
Putting it a slightly different way, but they're the increases that households are now paying, you know, for an average car driving an average of 17,000 kilometres. That's the kind of cost that we're looking at.
And of course, it's not your field of expertise, Paddy, but the same thing applies right across the board, particularly when we see the increase in cost of gas and home heating oil. I mean, that has gone the same way. We saw last week a government move muted, where they suggested that they may, which they subsequently did, reduce the excise duty. And I Paddy will tell us in a minute, but I've lost count of the amount of different sources of revenue that come from fuel. But I know that there's VAT and there's excise. But in any way, Paddy, you can address that in a second. And we did hear figures of, I think, somewhere between 64 and 70 cent in every euro you spend, in one way or another, has gone back to the government in tax. We did hear a figure that they were going to reduce it by X amount on the excise. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, the price of fuel went up at the pumps by, strangely enough, that particular amount. So that when the reduction came in, it basically went back down to the original price, which it had been the day before anyway.
Obviously, there has been some public outcry on that. I suppose it would be dangerous for us to comment on what the retailers are doing. But what I would say is that the prices are varying a lot, and they're fluctuating an awful lot. And that in a lot of cases is down to when the retailer has bought the fuel. You know, even as far as Friday passed, when we were doing another look at the fuel price survey, in some cases, some of the retailers were down by 30, 35 cents. So obviously the increase has got an awful lot of publicity, but the subsequent reductions didn't. Prices have settled down quite a bit across the country in the days since then. So and a lot of that is just down to the volatility of when retailers bought fuel and have to pass on increases. And I certainly wouldn't be defending any of the retailers. You know, it's not our job to do that. But I think what is very clear is that the situation is incredibly volatile, and prices are going to change a lot. They're going to go down and they're going to go up a lot over the next few weeks and months, especially as the situation in Ukraine escalates.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we saw it again, and obviously you can glean from my take on this that I am a motorist, but
yeah,
the price of a barrel of oil went up to, I think, was it around $140?
About $137, $139, you're right.
Yeah, because for those of you who don't know, oil is a commodity and it's traded in dollars on the stock exchange and on the market, the international markets. But straight away, the price went up on the forecourt. Now, there is absolutely no way, Paddy, and I'm not expecting your comment on this, it's just really a point I'm making, that to there is no way that the forecourt had bought in the product they were selling at that price. So they lashed it up straight away. And as, look, Paddy, let's not call a spade an agricultural implement here. Prices shoot up And when things change and the market turns, they come down very, very slowly.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but I certainly have seen, and we've seen the reductions, you know, change a lot, and even in the course of the same day at the moment, which is unusual. We tend not to, under normal circumstances, we do our price, fuel price surveys once a month, but we've been doing them an awful lot more recently because it's such a hot topic. And we have seen prices change and come down significantly enough, you know, in the same day. So, you know, it is an incredibly volatile situation. We certainly wouldn't be privy to how they do their pricing and how that they come up with that. But, without defending them, we have seen the reductions as well as the increases, and even over the course of an afternoon. So it is. As much as it's difficult for people to shop around, and it can be a little bit pity to tell people to shop around, but at the moment there are decent variances, and as I said, if, you know, 10 cents difference between a retailer will add up. So especially do have a look around and see what is available, because 10 cents difference can add up, especially on a 60 litre tank, can add up to decent savings.
And indeed, your own website, I think, gives details as well, Paddy, about where fuel is available at a cheaper price, isn't it?
No, we don't have those, but what we do is a fuel price average, and we also break down, and we have on the AA site what shows what you are paying when you pay for fuel in terms of taxes, etc. But no, we have records going back to 1991 of the average fuel prices across.
Sorry, I was mixing it up. I think it's pumps.ie.
Have that.
Paddy, you were saying that it's not all doom and gloom, it's not all bad news, that there may be some good news on the horizon. Please leave me with good news today.
Well, look, I think because there has been a lot of discussion about, supply and the markets were a little bit jumpy, things have settled down. If I look at the price of the barrel of oil today, it's reasonably low. It's in and around $102 a barrel at the moment, and so that will bring the price down. And you know, we are pushing for greater changes in that. So I think we will see, certainly for the short term, price settling. Maybe not so much for diesel. Diesel may not shrink that much, but we are seeing petrol starting to settle, and that, I suppose, is some sort of a silver lining on that grey cloud.
And as was the other thing as well, is that we know that there are on a world stage, and I presume you'll be watching this very closely as well, Paddy, I know there are negotiations going on with Saudi Arabia, Iran and Venezuela is the third one at the moment, with a view to lifting restrictions in relation to two of them, in the hope that they can up production. Now, I would imagine, Paddy, not being an economist, but the more product you can put into the marketplace, the more you will drive down the price. Am I right in my calculations there?
Yeah, you would be. And look, a lot of the difficulties that we've come into now, apart from obviously the Ukraine situation, was down to the fact that during COVID restrictions, the production dropped significantly because there was little demand for it, and there was the price dropped to at one stage $15 a barrel, and production didn't really ramp up to where it should have been. So we're still seeing the effects of that. So obviously if production ramps up and there's greater availability, the price will reduce. So that will be better news if that takes effect, because what will happen, we are losing about $11 million barrels per day by not using Russian oil, and that has to be made up somewhere else. So that obviously has seen prices increase without that supply, which a lot of retailers are just avoiding now as a result of sanctions.
Paddy, one last question before we part company, because the clock is going to beat us, and I've no doubt we'll be talking to you over the coming weeks and months about this, because this is definitely going to be an ongoing situation. In your opinion, is there further the government could go with the taxation to ease the burden on motorists?
Yeah, there is, because you know, we don't see this as a long term measure. If you consider the last time fuel prices were at a record, so back in 2008, when the price of a barrel of oil was $147 a barrel, fuel in Ireland cost about €101.17 for petrol. And you know, back in 2008. Now there's other factors like inflation, etc. But back then, when oil was that price, that was the price of petrol. And here we are now, with much cheaper oil prices, and fuel is at a record high. So the rest is made up by duties and taxes, and that has been the increase over the years. There is something that can be done. We all know that we have to move towards electric vehicles, etc. In the next few years, we know that there will be curbs put on buying standard petrol and diesel cars, but we're not there yet. We need some time to get the rest of the population, especially those in rural areas, up to speed, and that takes the government relieving the pressure somewhat, and that's what we're asking them to do. So yes, I think there can be more done to remove some of the duties, even as a temporary measure, until we get to the point where there are proper alternatives and there are greater access to other things.
Yeah, well, as the man said, it's a developing situation, and we would hope that the government would move a little bit further, and maybe just, instead of playing catch-up, Paddy, that they'd actually move ahead of the problem and take a big chunk off the revenue end of it to bring it down substantially and noticeably. Because, look, Paddy, the bottom line here is, whether people like it or not, or whether the government like it or not, the price of fuel dictates the economy. It drives inflation or it reduces inflation. When the price of fuel goes up, the price of everything goes up.
Yep, correct. You're very correct. So look, we can hope for better times.
Well, that's all we can do, and we will do everything in our power to keep the wheels turning. Head of Communications with the Automobile Association, Paddy Comyn. Paddy, thank you so much for joining me, and as I said, this is something that we will be coming back to in the coming weeks and months. In the meantime, Paddy, thank you so much.
Thanks a million. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. There you go, my friends. That is a sort of an explanation for you as to why you're paying so much at the pumps. Hopefully, it will reduce. And I suppose if there is any consolation to be taken from it, be glad you're not buying your fuel in Germany at the moment, looking at the prices there.
This is Lear FM
90.3.